Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are once again talking about moving forward, talking money as we do every week. Been doing this now for, gosh, almost 40 years. Been on the radio, I guess, maybe over 30 years doing this kind of stuff. And so today, if you are just tuning in, what we're going to be doing today, last week, if you go to RoyMatlockJr.com, if you were at or near retirement, we called it the retirement red zone, and we kind of focused on someone that was within 5 to 10 years of retirement. This is a show that if you have kids getting started, you know, they're in their 20s, in their 30s, you know, really kind of getting their finances started, we're going to talk about a getting started plan. Or another way you can look at it is if you have less than $100,000 in savings, you're still in the getting started stage, and we're going to walk you through how to get that done and put together a plan of success. And I want to encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com. We have a four-part plan that will allow you to automate your savings, get started. And typically, you know, for $300 a month, we can get you something going. And the most important thing that you can do to get is just get moving. Procrastination costs you money. And so we'll be talking about that. But today is a getting started plan with the idea that what we're going to do is go out and get an automated outcome. And what I like to do is tell people, you know, you get with me. I'm an implementer. I do financial advisory. My reps, that's what we do. We advise people. And we go meet with someone, the outcome is what we want to get. And what is the outcome? We want you to walk out knowing that you have a plan in place to create an automatic outcome. And so let's talk about the focus points that we'll be starting with if you're young. The most important thing you can do more than anything else is learn how to grow your income. And when you start growing your income, think about the value proposition. I always have done this as a business owner. I've been self-employed for my entire life. I've always done it that way, never had a job. But I've always had people that work with me. I call them with me because, you know, any employee that I have, if we can't work together, then they're not going to be, you know, beneficial to either one of us. And so they're not going to be sticking around. But I always say this, if I'm looking at an employee, I say, now that they've been working with me, they've been with me for 6 months or a year, knowing what I know, if they were not working right now, would I seek them out to be working with me? And that's kind of my decision point on whether or not I want to maintain people. And I always want to find good people. And I'm always asking myself, knowing what I know about them now that they've been with me, would I rehire them? And you need to always be the type of person that they say, man, I would be scared to death. The employer would be like worried you're going to leave. And rather than waiting to lose them, what I try to do is try to make it a great place to work. And so if you've got great skill sets and great value, you're going to be able to grow your income, and you can consistently grow your income year after year after year after year. And if you like what you do, which is the most important thing, you got to find something you like, then you can move forward. Because if you like it, you'll put the time into it, you'll be an expert. And then what's going to happen is one day you're going to see your income growing. You may decide one day to become your own boss, be self-employed, and where then that way now you've got a great income, you got no job because you're working for yourself, you like it, and you're moving in the right direction. So if you can just grow your income, that's number one. So think about it. Number one today, if you don't like what you're doing, you're never going to make any money. And so you want to find something you like sooner rather than later, become great at it, increase your value proposition, take it out to the marketplace, and one day you will have a good income, and then you just start saving and investing 25% of it. So you raise your lifestyle, it's great. Do it. Just make sure you got 25% of your money going to investing. You're going to have about 25% probably going to taxes, and the rest is going to be to live on. So you live on that. All right, once you do that, We play defense to begin with a goal of not losing. One of the first things you're probably going to want to do is find a house, and you're going to save for that, and you're going to get to $100,000. So that's our starting point. And then we're going to cover pieces. First thing is you need to get a team of trusted advisors, build a GPS. What is your GPS? Your goal, your plan, your schedule. Or we may call it a goal, a plan, and a strategy. What that means is that, number one, when do we want to quit? What would it be like right now if we could quit today? How much would we need? Well, I need $100,000. All right, do nothing money. Well, that's $2 million. So you've got 20x your money. You can make $100,000. You get $100,000 at 5%, and there's your do nothing money. And so, what's your GPS? That's the goal. What do I need? The plan is, how am I going to get there? Well, for me to get there in 10 years, I need to save this much per month at this interest rate. Where am I going to get it? Where am I going to get that rate? We're going to cover that. And then build a team of trusted advisors. I believe this, no matter what it is. You know, I have a golf coach. I have a great doctor. I find the right people that know more about what I need to know than I do. And then that's step number one. We build an emergency fund. We have a budget. We'll talk about that. We buy the proper insurance to protect our assets and our income. We understand what the difference in good debt and bad debt is. We're going to get all these pieces covered today. We get our home bought. We have an estate plan, and we accumulate $100,000 because we automate everything we're doing. And once we do that, we are on track for a plan of financial independence. And, you know, you've got enough worries in life. Why not take one of those off the table? And that's your money problems. And your money problems are income, outgo, and anything that you have between that is your quality of life gap. So if you have more going out than you got coming in, you're stressed. If you have less going out than you got coming in, you're not stressed. And then the more you have set aside that you know that should you lose a job or have an accident, something like that, and you can't work for a period of time, the more months that you have set aside will give you more security. And so one day you're going to have enough months set aside to where you never have to worry about getting up and going and grinding it out again. And so today, that's kind of the starting point, the pieces of getting started. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. If you want more information on getting a plan in place, maybe just a phone call to start, go to roymatlockjr.com. We have a lot of downloads that will help you get on track. Stay tuned. We're going to get rolling for the young people today.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, segment two. Today we're talking about young people, or not just young people, anyone that has less than $100,000 in investments. What do you need to do to get there? And so if you're tuning in right now, we're going to be talking primarily targeting the younger market. Or if you know, if you're out there and you say, man, I hadn't really done a good job, this is for you. We're going to start you with a very foundation. Most important thing you can do when it comes to money is get started sooner rather than later. And when you do that, that gives you time and consistency that you can get compounding to work in your benefit. Let me give you an example. So let's say that you have a compounding period. You get 9% and your money doubles every 8 years. And you wait 8 years. And let's say that you get your $100,000, but it takes you 8 more years to do it. Well, and what happens is, is in 9 years, you would have 200 grand. Then in 18 years, you'd have 400 grand. Well, if you wait that 8 years, you had one doubling period that you lost. So rather than having 400, you have 200. That's a big deal. Rather than having 800, you have 400. Rather than having 1.6 million, you have 800. And so what happens is getting started is the key to get your doubling periods going when it comes to your money. So let's get started. Number one, we grow our income by growing our skill set. One thing that we are always looking for are good people, ambitious people that might want to improve their situation. They like money, what we do. And when I say like money, like understanding. We have a referral partner program that you can get involved with us. So if you're a professional out there and you're wanting to improve your skill set on money, maybe make some additional income, I would encourage you to go check out our referral partner program. It's on roymountlikejr.com, and it'll show you how that is. It's a short video. All right, so let's get started. Number one, first and foremost, if you want to be able to really move forward, you got to have a budget. And what that budget involves is I'm going to give you the simple stuff on the budget, but you know, we have a download form at roymountlikejr.com, a budget form where you can do this. But let me tell you how budgets work. Budgets are not accounting systems. Budgets are set up in order for you to make decisions in advance. The accounting system is counting what you spent. We're not talking about accounting systems. What we're talking about is a budget. So let me give an example. So some things that you do to begin with, we have, when we set a budget up, we take our total income. If you're married, you throw it into one account, and that's your total income that's put in. Now, out of that total income, you may have some things that have already been deducted. For sure, you've got your taxes. We will talk about that a little bit later. But what happens is you, if you have retirement plans through your work, that'll be deducted. If you have health insurance, things like that, it'll be deducted. Then what we do is we set up what we call a draft account. The draft account is all your recurring and automated type expenses that go out on a regular monthly basis. And so, for instance, if you have rent or you have a house payment, it's automated. You have electric bill, it's automated. So what happens is this. We look at all of our fixed expenses and we automate them. And once we do that, we have them drafted, we have a bill pay, we have it payroll deducted, we have our savings and investments automatically drafted, key element. First time I got started, I put $50 a month into a mutual fund, $100 into a money market fund, had it automatically drafted out of my checking account. That was the beginning of financial independence, is getting that done. And what that's called is pay yourself first. Now, when I talk about things like that, let me give you an example of what the high cost of waiting is, all right? So let's say that you have let's just say right now, we're going to say you got $1,000 a month that you want to save, and you're 25 years old, you're both working if you're married, or you've put your business in order to such that you've got $1,000. You take $1,000 and you invest that for 40 years at 9%, you're going to have $4,700,000, all right? If you wait 1 year, that means you didn't invest for 1 year, $12,000. It cost you $416,000 because you lost that compounding period. If you wait 5 years, you didn't invest $60,000, and it cost you $1,752,000. If you wait 15 years, $180,000 cost you $3,586,000 for waiting. Okay, so the most important thing is we get started. So what we're going to do is we're going to get started, all right? And we're going to build that emergency fund, and we're going to get a budget in place, and we're going to go get 100 grand. So let's talk about 100 grand. What do you got to do to get 100 grand? 5 years, $1,392 a month at 9%, you're there. How about that? 5 years, $1,392 a month. Now, what are some tricks to that? Well, use your 401k matching funds and let the employer match 50% of your first 6% maybe, or the first 3% they match, whatever it may be. All right. If you want to do it in 10 years, it's $547 a month. Most people could get 100 grand if all they got to do is put aside $547 a month. If you have any kind of income and you're working on it, $547 a month, drafted, maybe in a Roth IRA, you got your 100 grand. All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to grow our income, grow our skill set, set up a budget, set up our drafts. Then we're going to have what we call a slush or a sinking fund. How does that work? Well, what happens is when you put your money, You have all your bills going out. What's left over is sitting in that draft account, and we put aside money for things that will happen that are not automatically happening each month. Give you an example. Your car will need to be replaced. There'll be maintenance on your car and your house. There'll be Christmas and vacations, things you need to plan for. So we're going to put that in the budget form. And then after we do that, we're going to have money left over, and that'll be our weekly account that you can send money to, have two debit cards if you're married. And on Sunday night, you go and you set aside whatever that is that you need to live on a weekly basis, and you manage once a week your debit card. You do that, you got an easy budget. So here's what we do. We have a draft account. Inside the draft account, there'll be money accumulating. You'll have an account that builds up. So one day when you have a car to replace, you've been setting aside $200 a month, whatever it may be, $200, you know, whatever it is. And now you have that. And all of this is set up to get you to spend less than you make, create a gap. And then you look at your income. As your income goes up, you're always setting a goal of 25% going towards savings. That's a big goal. Worst case outcome, 10%. But 25 gets you going quick and early. And it's no big deal if you're growing your income every year. You're like, man, this is great. I'm just making more money, saving 25% of what I make extra, and I'm living on that. We set up and automate retirement plans. What are some examples of retirement plans? Your 401k through work, your 403b if you work for like a hospital or a nonprofit. You usually get matching funds. We're going to tell you that if you start young. We may say do a Roth, but likely I may say take the deduction and take a deductible in on your matching. Get your full matching deduction and then take the tax savings then, stick it in a Roth. It's like buying one, get one free, because what's happening is the tax deduction fills up. Tax savings can allow you to put that money into a Roth. But a Roth, the benefit of a Roth IRA is it grows tax-free. It is after tax, though. Grows tax-free, and you can pull it out tax-free. A deductible account, you get the tax deduction today. Why would we do that? Well, one benefit is we get a today dollar deduction that we're able to invest. I kind of like that plan. It gives you a little bit of tax deferral. We'll talk about tax buckets. It also gives you some tax free. And now we're on an automated plan, and we're going to start saving money quickly to get ourselves going in the right direction. So these are things, these are part of our action plan. Now, let's say we have debt. We have things that we need to pay attention to like that. We're going to get into that as we go into the next segment. And really just more than anything, get you a plan of defense and offense. That's kind of the offense. That's the fun part. We got some more offense coming. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. I would encourage you. We got so many resources at roymatlockjr.com. You can download. Hey, you can get started for as little as $50 a month on a mutual fund. Everybody should do that. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, segment three on getting started, goal of getting to 100 grand ASAP, and that's the really the beginning stage of getting your money working for you. And if you're just tuning in, 5 years, $1,392 a month at 9%, you have your 100 grand. If you want to do it in 10 years, $547 a month, you need to get your money going for you. And we talk about automation and things like that. And so today we're going to go into 11-point action plan. The first thing is you grow your income. You set up a budget. Now we're going to hit some defensive positions as we go into the offense as well. Defense. One of the number one causes of major financial problems is lack of health insurance. You want to make sure that if you have something, if you don't have something through your work, you get something. There's some health share plans out there that are so cheap. There's no excuse. All right. A couple $100 a month. You can get health insurance. And, you know, you're just it always goes back to, why do we buy insurance? We buy insurance to protect our income and our assets. That's what we do. We do those things. We get car homeowners, you know, if you rent, you got renter's insurance, you got liability insurance. Why do you do that stuff? To protect your assets. So let's take a look at it. So I'm going to give you a little tip on buying home and auto insurance. I have a license on that. I refer that stuff. That's not my main business line. But, you know, I see mistakes made, and I can give you some examples of things that happen. The first thing is that people, they have low deductibles, and they have money set aside that they could afford a higher deductible. So when we set up an emergency fund, the idea is 3 to 6 months of liquid cash, and it's easy to get to. The emergency fund is getting maybe 3% right now if we're looking at a money market or something like that. So you're not making money on the investment side of the emergency fund. But what it allows you to do is to raise your deductibles on your car insurance and your homeowner's insurance. Now, when you do that, that's going to reduce your cost. It also is going to give you, if you have an older car and it's paid for, chances are you could maybe drop your collision coverage. Now, when you drop your collision coverage and you're self-insured, and you want to make sure you're really self-insured. So if your car, you wreck it and destroy it, what's going to happen is you can go get another one. That's going to allow you to save a lot more money. That's money that can be put into additional type of accounts that would allow you to cover those emergencies and or put it into a retirement plan and save taxes. So what we do is we start looking at, you know, get proper liability coverage. We don't want to reduce liability coverage, especially as your assets grow. We raise our liability limits. That it means that protects us from being sued, or if we get sued, we raise the liability, but we also raise the deductibles because we have money set aside. Once we do that, we also might look at what's called a personal umbrella policy. That is a large umbrella policy, $1 million, $2 million, something like that. I call it a cheap lawyer. What is a cheap lawyer? Well, that's the insurance company. They have big time lawyers if you ever get sued. I had that happen to me one time where I was in an accident and I got sued. And it was really somebody trying to take advantage of me because, hey, I was in a Mercedes. And so they sued me, made all this stuff up. The insurance company on my liability coverage and my umbrella called me. They wanted to see my cell phone records. I gave it to them. I spent 1 hour, and that was the end of it. Had I not had proper liability coverage, I would have had to hire an attorney, anything over and above my limits, all right? And so I would have been in trouble doing that. But instead, for not that much money, I did that. So if you're out there and you want, we do it and give advice, get on the phone with us. We'll be happy to give you advice. And we have referral partners that we can refer this out to where you get it set up correctly. That's just simple stuff. Your health insurance, your car insurance, renter's insurance, your liability insurance. You want to make sure that you have income protection plans. That's called term life insurance. The cheapest thing you can ever purchase is term life insurance. I mean, it is the most amount for the least amount of coverage. I mean, for $100 a month, literally somebody in their 30s in good health can get $1.5 million of coverage. And you think about this, you know, put $100 down. If we knew our date of death, we would buy our insurance the day before we died. You put $100 a month in and you're covered immediately. And once you're covered, if something were to happen, your family would receive $1 million or whatever it may be. There's no excuse not to have proper income protection. A lot of these products now have living benefits that allow you to get the portion of the death benefit up front, in many cases up to 90% of the death benefit in the event that you had some kind of chronic illness or trouble. You know, basically you're not dead, but you had some problems, and allows you to get the money up front. You can visit roymatlockjr.com. We have actually a product that can be issued in as little as 15 minutes, no physical, no blood work, and up to $2 million of coverage. It includes a will and a trust. So you can go to the roymatlockjr.com, find out about that. We want to make sure that we protect our income. Now, what is income protection? How do you buy term life insurance? It's real simple. Rule of thumb, take 10 times your income, or take your income and add a zero to it. And that's generally a rule of thumb of what you probably should have. So if you make 100 grand, you would need $1 million of coverage. It's not exact, but that will replace your income. You may want to add something else for your kids' college, if you have children, to cover that, pay your home off, and you come up with a number. We calculate that, and we look at what term life insurance. We generally buy it until we would normally quit working. So if you are 40 years old, you might buy a 20 or 25 year term. You can buy term from in up to 40 years. You're generally from 5 to 40 years in length. The longer that you lock it in, the premium's higher initially, but over the long period of time, it's less. So we look at doing things like that. We eliminate bad debt. How do we eliminate? Well, first off, we got to look at what bad debt is. Bad debt, number one, is something you can't afford. That's a bad debt. If you have great credit, one of the biggest problems with great credit is that you can get a lot of debt. And then one day when your great credit got you into deep debt, then you get to deal with bad credit because you're having trouble paying your bills. So don't always think that if just because the mortgage company says you can qualify for, you know, something that's way up there, that that's a good thing because you have good credit. No, it's a bad thing, all right, because you have good credit. And so sometimes good credit is the worst thing you can have happen to you, because then you go borrow money. Don't do that. And so what we want to do is always be conservative. We want to eliminate bad debt. Bad debt is things you can't afford to pay. And number two, bad debt is tied to things that go down in value. So when you're financing things that are going down in value, credit card, car payments, all those kind of things, you would be much better off not doing that. I always tell people the best car you can ever buy is one that's used, that you pay cash for. That's your best car. If you are using a credit card, your best credit card is one that is automatically deducted out of your checking account at the end of the month, so you never pay interest on it. And that's the way we want to look at it. What is good debt? Good debt's tied to things that go up in value. It could be something like a house that you can afford. And it's good debt if you can afford it and it's tied to something that appreciates. You might borrow money if you're a business owner to buy additional equipment that will make you money, provided that you do not have to worry about the payment. You always want to be thinking, hey, conservative. You can never be too conservative when it comes to locking yourself into payments. Never can be too conservative. You never want to lock yourself into payments, because payments will eat you up, and that's what bad debt does. That's what bad leases do. That's what bad house payments do, all those kind of things. And so what we like to do is build a plan around defense. I've been talking defense right now. Defense, not losing, not making the mistakes. Average mistake, $50,000 to $500,000 per mistake over your lifetime. And so we start there. We're going to finish up the last segment with the offense. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com for more information.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're finishing up, and today is getting started stage, how to get from zero to $100,000 in savings and investments. And always give that number because, you know, I like watching $100,000 grow. So think about this. The rule of 72 says if you put any number into the number 72, it'll tell you how many years it takes your money to double. So if you get 10%, your money doubles in 7 years. If you have $100,000, that means that you make $100,000 the next 7 years by letting your money grow. If you have $200,000, you make $200,000 over the next 7 years by letting your money grow. If you have $400,000, you make $400,000 over the next 7 years by letting your money grow. So what we want to do is get a nest egg set aside quickly so we can watch the nest egg double. And the way we do that is we get our money working for us. And, you know, one of the things that I run into a lot of times is some of the biggest mistakes I see when it comes to money are people that turn away free money. Let me give you one example. If you have a retirement plan through your work and you're not putting your money in it and it's matching funds, you're just throwing away free money. If you don't put money into retirement plans, you're throwing away taxes because retirement plans allow you to get tax, either tax deductions, tax deferral, tax-free income, whatever it may be. If you're not putting money in, then you're losing it. If you're not buying products that have tax advantages, one of the products that I now believe is a place you can go is you can pick up insurance plans that give you tax-free income as a supplemental retirement plan. So you think about investing money. Typically what I do for people that are young, you know, what's the first thing we're going to do? If you're investing, you got to do your Roth IRA. You got to take your – everybody's got to do their matching funds. If you are listening right now and you have a son or daughter – that's younger, and the number one thing that most people I talk to, they say, man, if I knew what I knew now, if I knew it back then, I would have started sooner. And so you should take this show that we're doing right now and send it over to your son or daughter that's getting started and tell them to listen, because the most important thing is getting started. And so what we're going to do now is talk a little bit about how investments work, the easy understanding of investments. The first thing that we want to do is we want to understand the rule of 72. Rule of 72 says if you take any interest rate divided into the number 72, tells you how long it takes your money to double. So what we want to do is get our money working hard for us. So let me give an example. If you got your money at 3%, that means your money will double every 24 years. If you get 6% divided into 72, it doubles in 12 years. If you get 12%, it'll double in 6 years. And believe it or not, there's funds that have been going on 100 years. One of them that I have access to that's going on, I think it's 95 years old, and it's averaged 12% for 95 years. So that means that consistently since like 1934, it has averaged doubling your money every 6 years. And so you start thinking about that. You say, I can get that. Yes, you can. It's out there. And if you want information on those type of things, just go to RoyMatlockJr.com, set up a phone call with one of our advisors or do one of our downloads, and we'll, you know, get back with you, that kind of thing. So rule of 72. So we want to get our money working for us. How do we do that? We do that by becoming what I call an owner rather than a loaner. So the first thing we want to do is we look at our defensive positions. Our defensive positions are things like emergency funds, and we don't want to have a lot of money tied up in that. We're going to have money like that strictly to protect us. I always tell people, if you've got a house, you got a lot of equity in, get you an equity line of credit, even though you don't need it. It's an extra emergency fund. It protects you from having to dig in to retirement plans when they're down or retirement plans when you would get penalized. It allows you to let your retirement plans continue. So we're always going to have some defensive money, all right? But the reality of it is you don't want to have too much defensive money. You want to have some offensive money when you're accumulating. Now, when we get older, we go become more defensive because we're starting to pull money. and we don't want to be thinking about having markets down and pulling markets, pulling stuff out. So how do we become an owner, not a loaner? I always think of it this way. If you go to Vegas, if any of you have been to Vegas, there's a few things that I know about Vegas that I think is pretty funny about Las Vegas. First one is this. People, before they go to Vegas, they generally decide how much money they're going to lose in advance. All right, so they say, I'm only going to lose $1,000. So that's the first thing about Vegas. It's always funny. Second thing about Vegas, they don't do it as much as they used to. They used to give those $9.99 lobster dinners. And you say, I think I'm going to go in the casino and get me a lobster for $9.99. And then you go in there, you eat your lobster for $9.99, and you lose $300 on the gambling. And you say you paid $309.99 for your lobster. And you say, man, that's pretty good. I mean, for who? The casino, right? So if you had a choice between being the gambler or the owner of the casino, who do you think comes out best? Think the owner of the casino, right? So why not just own the casino? Wouldn't that be a better idea? Yeah, let's own the casino. How do I own a casino? Well, you buy stock in the casino. And the interesting thing about those casinos, every time we go to Vegas, there's a new one, there's a bigger one. Now there's a Sphere out there that, you know, it's always something new and bigger and better. And, you know, they got a football team, NFL, they got all that kind of stuff. And obviously, they must be making money, so maybe you're better off owning stock in the casino rather than being the gambler. Or maybe you say to yourself, I got credit card debt at 21%, but I got money in the bank paying me 3%. So I'm loaning my money to the bank at 3% and borrowing it back at 21%. Who's making the most money? You or the bank? I think the bank. All right. Well, why don't you just own the bank? Well, how do I own the bank? Own stock in the bank. So now I've become an owner rather than a loaner, right? I didn't loan it. I own it. Make sense? And so what we're going to do then, you say, well, I don't know what stocks to buy. Well, then what we need to do is go find somebody that knows how to do that stuff, professionals. And so the first time when I first got a securities license back in 1985, 40 years ago, I got a securities license, and I was fortunate enough to go to one of the fund managers, and I was able to find out what they did to pick stocks and stuff like that. And so what a mutual fund does is they take mutually funded accounts, managed accounts, and what they do is they manage your money for groups. So you throw all me and you and everybody else, $50 a month or $100,000, doesn't matter, goes into a fund, and they go out and they research. And the guy told me, he says, here's how we do it. They brought a guy up that was an analyst, and he did, you know, help pick the stocks, and he was a pharmaceutical analyst. And they said, well, how do you do this? He said, well, first off, what's your background? I'm a medical doctor. All right, that makes sense. And I got my MBA from a big school. And so now we say, okay, the guy's a business guy and he's a doctor. And he says, first thing we do is we go meet with all the pharmaceutical companies, and we talk to the C-level and see what's going on, the top, you know, exactly is what they're saying. Then we go down, we talk to the employees, see what their attitude is about things. Then we go over research and development. We talk to them and see what they got cooking. He said, then from there, we go to the doctor's conventions and we talk to them and see what they've got cooking and what they're doing from a standpoint of prescribing. Then we talk to the patients to find out how they're responding to the drug. Then we go to D.C. and find out what the political environment is. Then we rank them A, B, C, D, and E based on what they're worth versus what they're trading for. And then we put some money in it. Generally, we'll never put more than about 4 or 5% in any one company. And that's how we pick them. And we do that on every single company. I talk to the retail people. And they said, we don't believe the malls at Christmas. We have our own counters to see what the traffic is. And once I left there, I said, okay, you're not going to beat these guys at Robin Hood. You might get lucky every once in a while, but more than likely, if you buy individual stocks, you're not going to know when to buy. You don't have the information or anything like that. So you go to professional money managers. And over a long period of time, guess what? They do pretty good. And so what we do is put people, when you're young, you need to have your money in an ownership position. That's what we do when you're trying to accumulate money. You do that. Now, as we accumulate, what we end up doing is we can become more conservative for two reasons. Number one, we have something, so we don't need the rate of return. And then secondly, we don't want to be in a position to where the market is down when we're wanting to pull. One of the key elements to going forward financially is to be able to always sell at the top. Never sell at the bottom. And the way you do that is you have different buckets of money as you accumulate. So what we end up doing now is we say, all right, now that we understand what we're going to do, we start picking the direction of where we're going. And that's where financial advisors come in. That's what we do. We help people automate plans. And it starts with a review. So when we have a meeting with someone, generally it's a phone call. We like a phone call first. It's very low-key. We'll start and do a review of where you're at. What has your life given you up to this point as it relates to your money? What do you make? What have you done? Good, bad, all this kind of stuff. And so we start there with a review. We look at the goals, put the GPS in place, and then our first goal is to get you to 100 grand. If you're young, getting started. Now, obviously, if you're older and you accumulated money, we become more looking at diversification, making sure the taxes are going in the right direction. We do all that kind of stuff. So then once that happens, we do the review. We find out where you're at. We look at a defense, as I mentioned. That's mostly protecting assets, income, budgets, emergency funds. We then go to an offense. The offense is retirement plans, deductions, tax deferral. We can also include things like getting, you know, estate plans in order. So that way you're in good shape, maybe 529s if you have children coming up. And so we do those kind of things. And then we put together an action plan. What is the action plan? It's an automated plan that says this is what you need to be saving, such as $1,392 a month for 5 years to get you to 100 grand. We then go to a product marketplace, place you with products that will keep you in a positive position defensively and offensively. And then from there, you're on track. It's automated. What I try to do for people is make it automated simple. Simple automation to get you to financial independence. I want to throw this out real quick. If you are ambitious and you are a networker and you know people and you like what we're doing right now, go to RoyMatlockJr.com, check out our referral partner program, also download all of our free materials. Thanks for listening. We'll be talking to you next week.